enough. This is our heritage, and you, son, need to get a soul.
I'm in the studio with Eugénie Dumont. She's a French filmmaker, and she made a movie about Aboriginal people fighting the world's biggest gas plant, which was supposed to be built on their land in Australia. Hello, Jeannie.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, so your movie is about the tribe of the Gularabulu, and you documented how they fought against the big construction of this big gas plant. Can you explain a bit about the situation you were in there?
Yeah, sure. I'm just very impressed by the way you said Gularabulu. not often people get this really well. So, what can I tell you? Okay, when I got there the first time, they were in the middle of a low case, some sort of entanglements, and this low case was going on for the last 10 years already. But when I got there and got invited to live with them on their land, to understand their culture and to, like, in some ways they invited me to learn their ways, to become one of them, yeah? There was nothing on the ground. Like, Woodside, the company who was supposed to build this gas plant, wasn't there physically. So the idea was just in the air. And they felt threatened. There were some people coming from the government. The feds were coming over as well. But it was like just a few events like this was only happening partially. And then when I came back with... like fully prepared 7 months later to actually shoot the movie, then everything was different.
Yeah.
I came back to Broome with a war.
Broome is the city where it took place in Australia, right?
Yeah, it's in northwestern Australia.
Yeah.
Beautiful place. It's the what we call the Doors of the Kimberley.
It's a holy land for the local people, no?
It's... We could say it's the last... green lungs of Australia in many ways, because it's very pristine. It's hard to imagine for us Westerners, because this place has been looked after by Aboriginal for millennia, and some places you walk in the bush and you can tell yourself, wow, I'm the first human being to walk here, you know? This is really like untouched, as God created it in a way, and yeah, this is very beautiful.
And so you came back and you found police and everything all in the place.
Yeah, like Broome was not the same. It was all over the place. During my scouting time, I met a beautiful community. White and black united together. I mean, Australian from Western descent and Aboriginal people united together in a family spirit. It was a tribe. They were really close to each other, and then I come back a year later, and the town is completely upside down, and there are some families that are torn apart over some money deals that Woodside was offering, for example, all sorts of things, and yes, Woodside was there on the ground trying to get through the land on a daily basis. So basically I came back and we would have to wake up at 5 a.m. and stand in the middle of the road to be in their ways, to avoid them to go across with the bulldozer and wreck the place.
Yeah, it looked pretty violent in the video, some of the scenes with the police, people getting carried away by police for just, I assume, just peacefully demonstrating.
Yeah. I guess you're talking about the trailer. Yeah, I mean, not the whole movie is violent, because this is not the spirit of Aboriginal people. But obviously, I had to like show how brutal it was for them to endure such an aggressive push from from a government, from, I would say, even from a society, because it's all the capitalism society that is trying to get through and rape this place, yeah? Mm-hmm. And those people were, like, completely, like, innocent people. This is really the way we could see them. They have no notion of greed. They are there because they belong to their land. Mm-hmm. This is way different from all Western way of thinking. They belong, it means they have a responsibility towards that land to protect it, mm-hmm. to do whatever it takes to make sure it's handed over to the next generation as pristine as they could enjoy it themselves.
Mm. What does it involve? What's their culture, their worldview when it comes to the land and themselves in the land and the continuation of nature and human being together?
There's a lot to say about that topic. What aspect would you like me to develop?
What is their relationship with nature?
Yeah? Okay. Big topic again. Okay, their relationship with nature is complete. It's a whole. They are part of nature. We are nature, right? This is something that was kind of a process of unconditioning for me coming from France.
So they don't see human as like human and then there's nature. It's all just nature and human as a part of it.
It's not separate. Mm. Human beings and nature are only one thing. Yeah. What is this flesh that we have? What are our bones and our blood running through our veins? This is nature. How can we call it different than nature? And somehow we put ourselves above it? No, it doesn't make sense. So there's a beautiful way that they explain it. They say every living being comes from the same pulse of life, the same heartbeat. This is very beautiful. Everything is equal. The mineral world, the vegetal world, the animal kingdom and human beings. Everything is a whole thing. Everything is interdependent and correlate. Yeah? We can't get rid of one aspect. And we can't use it for our own benefit without giving back. Yeah.
So you seem to have really immersed into that culture. How was it for you to come there and how... I mean, you come as a young woman from France and you meet these Aboriginal people in their holy land. How did they react to you and how did you get to know them and build trust?
Wow, that was very beautiful. So this adventure started 7 years ago. I was 23. I was still a kid in many ways. I was a product of my society. It took me about 9 months to meet them. So I was traveling around Australia looking for a tribe for which I could be a vessel and offer them a voice through my skills of cinematography. And when I met the Gularabalu, it all made sense, you know. Mm. Suddenly, like, it was like a... How do you say?
Like a revelation that you had to be there where you are.
It was... obvious. It was very natural. I met this guy and we talked for a couple of hours and he told me, "You smell good." And I was a backpacker at the time and I couldn't shower every day and I was like, "What are you talking about, man?" And he told me, "No, you smell good spiritually." And then he got my attention, you know, I got really interested. So what did he mean? And yeah, he told me basically, Teresa Rowe, she is the granny of Broome. You need to meet her. She has been waiting for you all her life to tell you her story.
Wow.
Yeah, as you say, like, wow. I couldn't believe this. So they introduced me to her. And she told me her story. I completely fell in love with her big smile and the joy that she had, you know. She doesn't even know how old she is, and at the same time, she's just like a beautiful girl. Still, she's got this fire of what child have, you know, and it's very beautiful. And then I was introduced to the Lobos, her son, the youngest son, Joseph Rowe, rest in peace. And yeah, he just told me, just please go and camp at James Price Point, the area that was proposed for the gas plant, and have a feel. Have a feel there. Okay, so I just did my homework. I went there, and yeah, it all came down naturally. I just went down the cliff, the red cliffs there, across the beach. I sat on the rocks. That was low tide, I remember, at sunset. And I was facing this coastline, and I cried. I burst into tears because I couldn't believe that some guy, Colin Barnett, came here and could have said something like, let's wreck it all, let's destroy everything, and let's make billions of dollars. And I couldn't believe this, you know. I was touched by the beauty, the simplicity of the beauty of this place. I couldn't think I was on Earth. This place was just pure magic. And I could feel the spirits around me, you know. It was just overwhelming.
What did it look like?
Mars. I thought I was somewhere on another planet. So this was the first thing. And then I was welcome to live with them for a few months. And I think my age really helped. My age was a problem after, when I come back to Paris for the producing aspect of the movie. But with them, I was taken under their wing like another daughter of the family. And this was amazing. I was completely like a blank page that they could write on. And yeah, somehow give me some more sense about life.
What was something that you learned from them that still helps you, or maybe also helped you to make the movie?
Everything. You know, it was a big slap in my face. I had to unlearn everything and anything. I think I just carry this place in my heart. You know, whatever I see, whatever I go through, I know that this place does exist, and that those people of wisdom, they do exist. They are here on Earth, and actually our planet is beautiful. It's a jewel. So this really is the big learning for me. I you know, growing up in Paris, I couldn't imagine that life was so beautiful and so blissful.
And now you're here in Oroville.
Yeah.
How did you actually come here?
With the plane, unfortunately.
I mean, what brought you here? You're a guest right now, no?
Yeah, so I think it's all related. For me, this movie in Australia, it was the start of my dream time. Yeah, all my dreams that society put in my brain since I'm a child disappeared during that year of traveling. And then I got to that point where I had to learn their ways, and it was my real dreams started to appear. These dreams are, for example, living in a community, you know, living together with people, not having to rely on a very blur and dark system, but actually relating to my peers and being able to sustain my life in a very fair and human way. And I think this is what I discovered over there. And I've traveled a lot in Europe trying to find that place. I visited a few communities. Actually, it's the theme of my next movie. And I couldn't find a place that really could match with my worldview now. And
what is it in Oroville that matches?
Yeah, Oroville. You know, Oroville has been pointed at me many times during those travels, and so it seemed quite like a call like to come here. And now I'm here, and I feel really happy. I feel just really happy. This could be a nice balance between everything I want to do and explore and become. But what is really relevant right now about screening my movie Heritage Fight here in Oroville is that the dream of the mother was human unity, right?
Hmm.
And what I have witnessed as a cinematographer and as a human being is human unity.
Hmm.
This is the whole theme of my movie. This is what I've been witnessing, and this is what I've been experiencing. The last day before I left, after 4 months of intense shooting of war, of really ludicrous, horrible war, the whole group that we were in one of the camp came around and hugged me, and like I could feel the energy going through, and it was a very deep spiritual experience to actually experience in my body the light and the love of human unity, because During shooting time, I could speak to 50 people in one day and I would hear exactly the same thing, exactly the same words. And I would feel, you know, I would feel the unity between people. It was clear that we were all on the same page, that we were about to win this war against $45 billion. You know, it was really obvious. And I think I just live... Right now, my heart beats for living and experiencing it again. Because this is the most powerful thing.
Mm. Yeah, so now you already spoke about the end of the movie, that the company will not build this gas plant, which
yeah.
was pretty obvious from the way you spoke about it. I think during all this time, you said you always had the idea that it will not happen. And all the people there outside the idea it would not happen. What can you say? What brought this idea about?
Mm.
Dreaming play a role?
Yeah. So this is very simple. This comes from Aboriginal people, actually. It all begins in dreamtime. Everything you see today, you dreamt about it. Everything that is around you. Even when you see a cat being smashed by a car or something. Everything is your own creation. But then, when you dream collectively, it creates a bigger dream. The state of Earth right now, we could say, definitely, is the result of 7 billion people dreaming together about this. You know? And in a way, wanting it like this.
Hmm.
Wanting it, like, how can I say... Wanting it and hating it at the same time, you know?
Okay.
But believing it so truly and so truthfully within us makes it happen. So when you change your belief system and you come from a dream where you actually believe that you are going to live a happy life, that you can live a happy life, then nothing can stop you.
Wow.
Especially when then you dream together as a collective, you are indestructible. What can break you?
Hmm.
Nothing. Not an amount of money. Yeah, you know, in the media, we were actually described as terrorists. And they sent us like an army of policemen in like army type of outfits and gears and weapons, you know, and... I think it's all about knowing that as long as you believe that the power in place is going to actually rule, this is when you lose. When you believe that the government is more powerful than you, when you believe that any amount of money is more powerful than you, you have lost already. And these people, they come from a happy place. They were in paradise before all of this happened. I met the most happy people I've ever met on Earth. And they were just disturbed in that happiness. So they come from a place of love. They come from a place of happiness and abundance where maybe their faith into the government was destroyed. Very likely, actually. But they didn't think of a kind of power disempowerment in front of the government, you know? This is something governments in Europe do a lot, or in the States. The power of fear, you know? The media use fear to control the masses. In Australia, this is not that strong.
Okay.
In Australia, there's a kind of happy kind of lifestyle. So they're not really controlled by fear. It's different. It's with entertainment and this kind of things. So this really, I think, helped them to understand that they can believe in their dream, no problem.
Yeah. So we should all dream about the good to happen, and then we can change the world with that.
Yeah. And by dreaming, it means talking about the dream. You know? We're here together, sitting there in front of this microphone, and we can actually dream about spreading this message of hope. And it will happen, because we are here, you and I, together doing it. Yeah?
Yeah, it's, that's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, dear Arvo community and beyond, if you want to meet the wonderful Eugénie Dumont and dream with her and ask her more questions about the movie she shot and about the experiences she made in Australia, come to Cinema Paradiso at 5 p.m.
this coming Saturday, January 28th.
And meet her. Don't miss the chance to meet this wonderful lady. My name is Silke Opperman, and I wish you all a nice day.
See you on Saturday!